Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the sky above. I can't believe the time this morning. It just kind of melted away on me, and I thought I had another 10 minutes before we were due to go on air, and guess what? It was 7:59. So yay, though I made it in time, I felt like I had more time this morning before I was due to be here, and that wasn't the truth. Ah, time, right? Saturn now back in Capricorn, he rules time. And of course that means that time is of no time, or time is that piece of boundary that holds us in space, right? It is the boundary that holds us in space, whether we want to or not, right? We're here on this planet. This planet runs on rules of the physical world, and literally humans sort of created that idea of time, even though that there is time, right? Saturn rules natural time and the natural cycles around time. So the fact that the sun rises and creates the day, and we move through to the noon position of the day, and then into the later afternoon and evening, sunset, and then nighttime, right? All of that is the natural part of the cycle. We've created the clocks that keep us on time. That isn't something that is particularly natural, but it does help us keep our lives organized and on time and running smoothly. Unless, of course, you're late or too early and you have a lot of time on your hands. So an interesting talk this morning, or right away, about time. Good morning, Kimberly. Good morning, Amy and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Kamal, good morning. Thank you very much. Mimi, good morning to you. Ellie, good morning to you. Destiny, yay, it's good to see you. Terry says, good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to the show. I love it that he's still home with me, albeit for a short time, I'm thinking. Good morning. This is my first time catching the live, that from Luminous Orchards. First of all, I love that name, Luminous Orchards. That just speaks to the goddess Ceres and all of her bounty. And of course, the harvest and bringing in, you know, all of that beauty and that fullness. Welcome to the show, Luminous. It is great to see you here. And Kamal says, good morning to everybody. Don't forget to press like. Thank you, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. I love it that I've got you all doing this, reminding me. If you're liking the video, please hit the thumbs up button. In the grand scheme of YouTubeville, that makes some kind of splash. And the more likes you get, the more thumbs up you get, the more your videos are put in front of other people to be seen. As well, if you're new and you haven't done so yet, please hit the subscribe button. And if you are so inclined, you can also hit the little bell next to the subscribe button that notifies you when I come on live. Have a new video. The fact of the matter is, I'm here Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific time, unless something odd is going on in my own personal life, here to share with you what is happening in the stars above. So you could always just check in and see what's going on. And we have actually quite a bit to talk about today, as Jupiter in retrograde has now moved back into the sign of Capricorn, where, of course, he and his rabble-rouser friends, Jupiter, Pallas Athena, and Pluto, are awaiting with open arms for Saturn to run right into them. Actually, no, they're all retrograde as well, moving the other direction while Saturn is playing catch-up to get to them. As well today, we want to talk about Mercury in retrograde squaring Chiron today, and what does that mean for all of us? The moon is in Scorpio, and heading for a void, which means that's the point in time where the moon stops in her tracks, in a way, as in she's not making any new contacts with any other planets. She sort of wanders around until there's another contact to make, and maybe she, you know, the time between appointments, and then she creates a new attachment or a new connection to another planet, and we open up to we release the void and we move on into a new sign. Interesting though, because today's void, of course, is 1 minute long. I don't think I have ever seen that happen. It's possible I've missed that somewhere along the line, but today from 6:21 p.m. West Coast time until 6:22 p.m. West Coast time, the moon will be in the void, and afterwards she will emerge into the sign, truth-seeking sign of Sagittarius. So kind of funny thing. And then, of course, she's also making other connections we'll want to talk about. We'll want to talk about today's Pleiadian energy, which is 10 feeling energy. So you get the sense that there's some emotional stuff going on here today. And then I want to take us through some human design on the root center and the movement of the sun and earth into two new gates today, the gate 39, which is where the sun will be, the gate of provocation, and the gate 38, where earth is as the gate of opposition or struggle. And how does that work for all of us? So let's dig in, shall we? Let me just make sure I've said hello to everybody. Ursula, good morning. Destiny says, LOL, what time? 8 a.m. I think that's what you mean. Then Andrew Scott, great to see you out there this morning too. I was just thinking about you yesterday, mostly because I realized you were part of the membership and I hadn't seen you yesterday in the webinar that we did for the month of July. So I was just curious about how things were going in your life. It's funny how my mind works sometimes. Yesterday, one of our other listeners, Colleen McSpirit, that you guys often see out here, some reason she popped into my head. And then I realized, wow, I haven't seen her in the morning show. So I had to reach out to her. So know that even when you don't show up in the morning, if you've been here and we've interacted, there are times you will just pop up in my field and I reach out and I find out how you all are doing. Good morning, Patricia. It's good to see you. Ah, called out. No, you're not called out, sweetheart. It's just about, you popped into my mind. It's like you're one of my little flock here, and I just wanted to know how you were and what was going on with you, and so on. Ursula, Janet, you look radiant this morning, wise woman glow. You know what it is, Ursula? It's that I wore my hair down. I even sent a picture of myself to my daughter and said, is this too much? And she's like, no, I love it when you wear your hair down. And I don't wear my hair down very often because I feel like I can't think when it's down, right? I have to pull it back so I can think. So if I'm having to do a lot of work, then I'm going to pull it back because it's just in my face. But thank you so much. And the other thing is that the light today, it's really dark. We're having rain here. So it's dark, the sky outside. And then inside, I didn't turn on many other lights. So there's really only the one light that I have on, or two, I guess there's one behind me. So thank you, though. I love the idea that I'm glowing, the high pro glow, let's say. Andrew, love you so much, Janet. Appreciate you always, even if I'm not there in real time. I love it. It's an artifact of my own human design and my own astrology that for me, family lines blur. And I recognize this since I was a child, that if you and I make some kind of connection and it's a heart-centered connection or it's an emotional connection, you then become part of my extended family. So family to me is whoever it is that I make part of my family. And of course, then I extend that further and further out the more people that I interact with. So all of you, if I notice you in my life, if we've had done readings or coaching together, you're always going to be a part of me. I also reached out to a woman yesterday. I reached out to her on Sunday because she popped into my head and I'm like, I haven't heard from you in 9 days. Where are you? She was moving across countries. She was moving into Canada from the US. And I was worried about her because I hadn't heard from her. And luckily yesterday she connected. So I was able to catch up with her. So there we go. We're all family here. And of course, you know, then I also hope and wish for you all to interact. So I always love that when you're all interacting with one another as well. More of a community feel here in Living Astrology than just educational. Okay, so let's go to Saturn retrograde because there's a lot to talk about here. First of all, some background information on retrograde Saturn. For some of you who are in the membership and heard some of this yesterday, bear with me here. Maybe you'll hear something new that you didn't catch yesterday. When Saturn is in retrograde, no matter what sign he's in, he spends about one third of his time in a year in the retrograde cycle. So it's less intense for us as humans than a Mercury retrograde, let's say, or a Venus retrograde, or Mars retrograde that we're going to get to experience here in a few months. And that's because during that period of time, it's a subtle shift from the expression of Saturn in the outer realm versus Saturn's expression on the inner realm. But I know that there are a couple things that we can talk about that are sort of universal feelings that we might have during the period of time that Saturn is in retrograde. And one of them is that we may feel like normal has shifted. And I'll tell you what, right now, I feel like the whole world is in lockstep with me here, that normal has shifted and that we are out of step with it and that we are having to sort of get used to a new normal. And then when Saturn turns back to forward motion, then that normal shifts yet again. So often Saturn retrogrades are giving us that feeling that things are off somehow. And usually that feeling of not being normal is happening in regards to bigger social aspects of the world. Because the planet Jupiter and the planet Saturn are considered transpersonal. They're transpersonal planets, meaning the inner planets from Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Earth, Mars, Venus, Mercury, the Sun, and the Earth, they're all the inner planets and they affect us personally. And then the next two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, are considered transpersonal because they bridge between the personal planets and the further planets out, which are more collective-oriented planets. So often we think of Jupiter and Saturn as playing a role in a generation, perhaps, or in society at large. We can think of Jupiter perhaps as the rules, the way that we're growing or evolving, our wisdom that we're gathering. And then Saturn is more about the structures and the forms that we've put into place and how they change over time. But both of those planets tend to focus our energy on the society versus the individual, where the inner planets are on the individual versus society, and then the outer planets are on the collective versus society or individuals. So that's kind of an interesting differentiation, because when we go into this type of a retrograde, and now we have both Jupiter and Saturn in retrograde, so they're both taking us into this upset around societal norms. And what is the new normal, right? Is it lockdown? Is it wearing masks? Is it not being able to go out and gather in big numbers to go out and celebrate and do the things that we normally used to? I mean, this is a new normal that, again, will shift as these planets shift later on. So we're always in this flux with these particular planets, but it's a little more subtle at times, or it as how it affects us as individuals, but not so subtle in the way that affects us as a society. Now, I did some research this morning before I came on air to find out when the last time Saturn was at the same degrees he will be at during this retrograde. So he is in the sign of Capricorn, and that will be from 29 degrees backward to 25 degrees. So literally only a 4-degree retrograde. But the dates that he was there last were February 1st of this year through March 21st. And the reason I bring up those dates, because the themes that emerged around that period of time will resurface again during this period of time, which encompasses July 1st through December 17th. And part of that period of time, July 1st to December 17th, Saturn will be in retrograde. And the other part, that's up till September 29th. After that, he will be in direct motion again. So we'll see a shift, I think, in some of these themes around the coronavirus somewhere around the 29th or so of September. And likely that's a shift toward maybe finally, you know, seeing those numbers begin to drop instead of resurge. So isn't it interesting that the themes that jumped out at us in February and March, the biggest theme, the biggest world event ever, was the fact that the virus was declared a pandemic as opposed to just an epidemic. And then as well, it began this watershed moment of shutdowns across the world as different economies shuttered up. We were, made to stay home and so forth. So it changed our world. Now, we go back into those same degrees again. And what's happening? Well, what's happening is a resurgence of virus in states that didn't take precautions or resurged or moved outward too soon. And so Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, New Mexico, some of those places, Georgia, are states where we're seeing those numbers crawl up even higher than they were in April when we had the highest number of cases in a day. So it's a theme. And that theme is replaying it as we move into this period of time. So what's our new normal, right? What is our new normal against the backdrop of what's been happening in our world? And remember, Saturn in this example rules boundaries and limits, right? The limits that were initially placed upon us were in an attempt to keep the virus from spreading so fast and overwhelming hospitals and the medical system. And here we are then, they released those limits. They did some states did an all-out release, some did a phased release. And so we see again in some places that resurgence, that idea that you broke the rules, right? So karma comes back to roost. That's what Saturn is all about. And so if you didn't hold to boundaries and limits, then you're now going to see how you are going to have to relimit or redraw some boundaries and some new rules of behavior or new concepts around what's normal in terms of behavior. And as I was discussing yesterday with my group, this is not something that necessarily disappears. I mean, the virus itself may disappear, but the concept of boundaries and limits and a new normal and what is normal, what is acceptable, is something that isn't going to shift very soon because Saturn has now moved across the ecliptic plane already. And this is a bunch of mechanics that I don't necessarily want to get into the details of, but just say he's moving further away from the Earth. And then as it takes 14 years for him, half of his cycle before he comes back and crosses that ecliptic plane again and comes in closer to Earth. So we have a period of time now where this idea of societal norms being upended or new rules and new expectations of what is appropriate as a society, new boundaries and new limits coming into play. Now, of course, it's not ever going to be the same as it is right this minute, right? It's going to morph and change, especially because Saturn will eventually move back into Aquarius and change the energy up based on the sign that he's in. So we'll see different things popping up as we get into December and 2020 through, or 2021 through 2022. So it's a societal change that's in process, it's in progress, and it is something that we're going to be playing with for quite the while. And things aren't going to get necessarily easier here as we move into the summer, because eventually here Saturn and Mars will start to square one another. And so this is just a heads up for what comes later in this particular summer and into the fall, where Mars, the god of war, right, the warrior god, the planet we think of as action and dynamism, moving forward and marching, right, marching, deliberate forward motion, meets the immovable in Saturn, who wants that structure and that form and that regiment, right? If you're going to march in order, Saturn is going to be happier, but Mars tends to be the maverick and do things in a little bit different way. So we may see some lashing out. We may see some impulsive behaviors, conflict, confrontation on an epic level as we move later into August, September, and October, November, and December. Finally, in December, I think things will begin to calm down and maybe new themes begin to emerge for us to chat about ad nauseum in the morning. So this is a time, basically, for these next few months to revisit kind of the from the retrograde, revisit unfinished business. So whatever has been left undone, whatever Saturn is showing you personally that you need to revisit for a while or to reevaluate or to reconstruct or to redo, some of us all especially if you're, in a Saturn return that was in those later degrees of Capricorn, you may be revisiting the structures and the forms of your life and finishing what needs to be finished, right? There's that. All right, I'm going to head over here to YouTube and take a look at what people are thinking and saying. Anyway, Kamal, zero need to rush the learning experience. I don't know what that's about. That must be a conversation going on. Thank you, Adrienne and Amanda J. Good morning to you. No questions, right? I love that. I hope maybe you're just taking this in. Kamal is in his second Saturn return, and so am I, Kamal. I'm just 28 and a half years older than you. You don't have to count that out and see how old I am. However, we're both in our Saturn returns, just different types of Saturn returns. You're really defining who you will be. I'm really letting go of things that are no longer me, that I, and, you know, allowing the authentic me to come out. And that is sometimes very disturbing, kind of disruptive, very melancholic perhaps, or feeling depressive. But it's really about what's incubating within you that will emerge over these next few months. We'll have one more pass when we get into November. And then our Saturn returns are done for another 28 and a half, 29 years. So there's that. Okay. So I don't see any questions coming up here. So if you have questions, go ahead and post them in there. In the meantime, let's talk a bit about Mercury today in a square to Chiron. So most of you know, we talk about Chiron periodically. He is the wounded healer. In mythology, he was a centaur. So he was half human and half horse. So he has power, right? Horse always represented power. And then that is coupled with human intellect and the human consciousness. And he's often seen very similarly to Sagittarius with some form of arrow or some sort of wisdom tool in his hand. Sometimes you see him with the caduceus or a pole with the snakes intertwined, sort of that caduceus symbol representing healing. And it's a possibility that the healing industry or doctors took that symbol from the mythology around Chiron or Asclepius, as he's known in other mythologies, and brought it to the medical field as the symbol of healing, right? Heal thyself, physician, heal thyself, and first do no harm. And all of that comes from symbolically this concept of Chiron and what Chiron is teaching us each in our own lives about where we've been wounded and how we heal that wound. So another way to look at this is healing is an inside job. It's not necessarily you going out and to the world and asking to be healed from out there. It's mostly something that comes or has its beginning or its roots in here, inside, right? So as we look inside and we see where we are off or what things need to be healed within us, Chiron helps us to discover the way to do that. Now, Mercury, remember, rules the mind and communication. And he is in retrograde right now, so it sort of mixes up the mind and communication, right? Things get said wrong, our mouths get a runaway with us, or we can't seem to get the words out, or somehow your mind gets ahead of your words and you talk backwards. That's my thing. And or sometimes you just can't get out of your mouth what it is you want to say. So right now, with a square to Chiron, we may really have a difficulty making our point, getting our communication out in the way that we really want to. It feels off to us. And maybe, you know, it's because our minds are so aware of what it is we want to say and how we want to say it, yet we have this sort of interference wave, let's call it, moving through communication and the mind with Mercury retrograde. And so we can't quite say it. And that can then play into a feeling of insecurity within us, where if we can't get our point across and if we can't be heard and acknowledged and recognized for what it is that we want to say, then it can in turn create insecurity or a feeling, a sensitivity to criticism. where someone may say, I don't get it. What are you trying to say? And then we take that and we get hurt. And then we clam up, right? We clam up. We attempt to say it again in another way, and we still don't get heard. So this is a time, a day, where self-doubt can creep in and shatter our confidence. But the healing path here is for us to be willing and able to be in that vulnerability, that vulnerable place where we aren't being heard or we aren't being recognized. Slow things down a bit and reform the thought, and very more slowly say what it is that we need to say. Because not only is it you that might be having the difficulty, it may not even be you that's having the difficulty. It may be the person in receiving of that information that can't quite understand it owing to Mercury retrograde squaring Chiron. So be good to yourself, right? Be okay. Know that the trickster Mercury sometimes is just going to upend everything and upend our words. Don't let it lead you to that oversensitivity. And if it does, that is your opportunity. That is your call. That is your duty even to look within and see what that is, what has been triggered for you. What does it remind you of, right? Does it remind you of a parent that was overcritical of you, or that where you felt vulnerable in the confines of your family? Maybe you felt different. Maybe you felt like the odd man out or the black sheep. And so the vulnerabilities that may be triggered by the transit can remind you of things that were happening in your family or in maybe your school days, right? I remember being in school and I was very shy, and I wouldn't, if someone called on me, oh my God, I would, even if I knew the answer, I would forget the answer. And what would come out of my mouth was often not the right answer. And then I would feel foolish for not having the right answer, even though I knew the right answer. And then the times I had the right answer and I would raise my hand to be called upon, I was never called upon. What is that all about, right? So those things set us up, those experiences, those early experiences can set us up with a wound, and that wound now being triggered by Mercury. So don't, if you start feeling doubt about yourself or your abilities, that is Chiron asking you, heal that within you. Look to where that began and realize that you are a completely able human, right? You are completely able to be in your power and your authority now. If you're feeling vulnerable, go within and find out what that's about. If you're feeling insecure about your voice, about your looks, about your product, about your world, about your family, go within and discover where that is and start applying healing principles to that. That's what this is all about, after all, right? The healing path. And it could be, especially with Mercury being engaged here, it could be about the intellect as well, where you maybe don't feel as smart as someone else, or you don't feel as knowledgeable as someone else. You may feel inadequate in your knowledge about something, and that comes all up to the surface. And it's not to punish you more. It isn't to make you feel bad. It's about making you look at it and work with it and heal that part of you that feels that vulnerability or that doubt or that sensitivity. All right. Now, it can also be you being tempted to be in the seat of the criticizer or the person questioning someone else's intellect or in their ability to speak. And I know that all of you are also working on yourself. So if you find yourself ready to use that tongue as a sword, use that voice as a sword, pull back and explore within why it is you might feel the need to cut someone else down. And remember, that is our north node is, or our south node sitting at the gate 10, where the old us is feeling violated or in fear, or there's something not quite right within us that we then want to speak out against someone else. We want to use our voice to bring someone else down in some twisted way that it might make us feel better, but it really doesn't, right? It just keeps on exacerbating the problem. So hopefully everybody gets that and doesn't have too much of that wound experience today, but definitely it's there. Mercury and Chiron, Mimi says, perhaps in part the communication regarding the virus and masks. Oh, definitely. There's such an interesting debate about all of that. Even in my state, where it's mandated right now that if you're going out in public, you must wear a mask, people are out there not wearing them. I don't get it. I don't like the idea of wearing a mask myself, but if I'm going to go out in public, I feel like it's the prudent thing to do, to wear a mask, so that I'm not, if I inadvertently sneeze in your direction or cough, or even just talking, because even when we talk, you know, we're spraying out saliva, and it just seems prudent to me, but everybody wants to fight about it. It's too weird. And I just don't get involved in it. I just do what I feel is right for me. And, you know, in some ways I try to be, I don't always like the rules, but, and I wouldn't call myself a conformist, but if it seems prudent to me and it doesn't seem harmful for me to engage in that, then that's what I do. So that's what I would say to all of you, right? Don't get into the debate. Do what you feel is best for you. And you would just have to know that then you also reap the consequences of those actions and those behaviors. So, and no blame, no shame, no guilt involved. It's just consequences of your actions. That's the responsibility that Saturn, by the way, in and Chiron even are teaching us, being responsible for our own emotions, for our own actions, for our own words. There we go. Amy, we never have questions because you are the best teacher and explain everything so well. I love it, Amy. Thank you. That's how I feel sometimes, like I'm over-explaining, but then you guys understand and that's good. J-Lo says it's pouring in New York City. I see it as the earth getting cleansed. I love it when it rains, especially here in the U.S. when it does this just before the 4th of July, where everybody and their fireworks, and a lot of people are not very responsible with their fireworks. At least it protects the grass and the trees and so forth from catching fire. Destiny Clark, I feel that my Chiron is in the third house. Definitely, right? The voice, communication, the mind, how you learn, all of that in that third house. Kimberly, what are some of the healing principles? Ooh, good question, Kimberly. When we talk about healing with Chiron, on one hand, we have this idea of alternative methods of healing. So everything that we would consider alternative medicine, maybe even more traditional medicine, where we're looking at the cause, the root cause of something, as opposed to just throwing a bunch of drugs out at the symptoms. In fact, what we would see in a more traditional way of healing and a chironic way of healing would be to look at the symptom and then equate it to something that is been moving into the physical from outside through the spiritual, the mental, and the emotional, finding the trigger point or the source rather than just treating the symptom. Because if we can get to the source of the problem by processing, right, by calling in and being responsible for our own stuff, right, our own feelings, our own things that we've done, being responsible, then we can work with the healing energy. Now, on the other hand, sometimes we need that healing touch from someone outside of us, a doctor, a massage therapist, a chiropractor, someone that is going to help us get to our subconscious mind, maybe through Psych K or Access Consciousness, different modalities. There are lots of modalities out there, Reiki even, Christ healing. So there are lots of healing modalities that enter into the alternative world that are based on getting to the source of the issue. And that's our responsibility, is to get to the source, to recognize when something is repeating in your life and that you're the common denominator, right? You're the common denominator in all of the breakups that you've had in your relationships. I'm not saying you specifically are having breakups, but you're the common denominator in all of the things that have happened in your life. And if you keep looking outside of you for the answers to that, then you're dealing with not healing, but furthering the wound. Chiron would suggest that we go inward and we start to recognize and be responsible for all of the things that are off. We engage a healer, a coach, a counselor, a doctor, if we need to, in order to help us facilitate that healing. But in the bottom line, you are your own healer. And you are the one that must deal with what is going on within you. Even in a very dire circumstance, for example, like cancer, I would never tell you only go the alternative route, look within and see what's causing the problem. I would say definitely you need to go to someone that you trust as a physician that can help facilitate the body's healing while you're working on the inner planes, right? So it's seeing healing more as a partnership between you and the healer, and not so much just you giving away your power to a healer or expecting that the healer is going to heal you without you having to do any of the work for yourself. So that's kind of the long way around answer, but I hope that answers that for you. And now I forgot who answered it. I thought it was Kimberly, maybe? Yeah, Kimberly. So I hope that answers that for you. Destiny Clark, all the shadow work and forgiveness for self. Forgiveness, another one. That's huge. That's a huge energy right now. Forgiveness of self, of others, of the misapplication of duality and for playing into all of the angst on the planet. Forgive ourselves, forgive others. And anyway, Asa, good morning. Taylor, good morning. The EU banned all travel from the US. Definitely Saturn in Capricorn. Definitely. And can you blame them? I mean, they've done their due diligence. They've reduced their cases. They did everything that we should have done as a country. Over the last couple of months, we didn't do it. We didn't have a cohesive strategy to work with this virus. And for whatever reason that was, right? I don't want to say blame or anything like that, but we did not have that cohesion that these other countries had. And now we're going to be paying the price for that, right? It's karma coming home to roost. Now we have this grand opportunity to course correct and to do some of the things that we didn't do before. Right, to really be the support to the doctors and the professionals out there, to really make it understandable to people that when we social distance or when we wear masks, we're actually protecting one another and on, right? Without the idea that that somehow impinges or infringes on my freedom. And that's a big problem in this country, right? I have the right to do whatever I want, and never mind how that might affect someone else, right? So we have to balance freedom and social responsibility. Andrew says, Mercury Hermes carried the Caduceus. Ah, yes, you're right. It was what allowed him to travel between worlds. Asclepius was with Chiron, by the way, for clarification. They're often mixed up. One has one snake, one has two. Interesting. I'm going to go check that out, Andrew. I love that. Amanda J, Chiron is retrograde in Aries for me, along with Mars retrograde in Aries, both in my 12th house. So I would say you're under the gun, Amanda. I would love to be a little fly on the wall and find out what it is that you're struggling with in your life, because I think right now you have a lot of opportunity as Chiron is about to go retrograde, July 7th, I believe it is, in Aries, and that's going to match what's going on in your birth chart. And then Mars will retrograde in Aries later on in the fall. So depending in the 12th house, so you get to track what's going on in the subconscious. You get to look for all the keys. I bet you have a giant key ring of keys that you're going to find to unlock the pain, the wound, the self-sabotage, the limits, the boundaries, and all of that in your life that you have mistakenly put upon yourself. So that should be a really interesting time for you. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be comfortable, because anytime we deal with the 12th house, we're going into the deeper, darker areas, and that can be a little discomforting. But it can be so rewarding to be able to go in and do that kind of work, that level of work for likely what is, you know, one of the first times in your life. I'm trying to think of how old you are, Amanda, because maybe even if you were born after 1978, you were born into with this wound. If you were born before that, somehow the wound appeared in your life at whatever age you were when Chiron was discovered. So it depends again on how old you are. I would bet you're closing in on 50-ish though, maybe, because you're having a Chiron return. We'll see. J-Lo, that is so true. I'm the one who says bye. Time to change that. Don't give up on yourself, right? I just was having this conversation with my daughter. Remember yesterday we got that card giving, what was it called? Exchanging gifts. And that was our WOTO card. It was a collective card for us. And WOTO in exchanging gifts says giving is receiving. So if there's something that you feel is missing in your life, start giving that to people, start giving that to the world. And you will find then by very universal laws that you begin receiving that in kind. So it's giving is receiving and giving, receiving is giving, on and on. Yes, destiny, forgiveness of self is so hard to remember and do sometimes. Oh, yes. Kimberly says, thank you for answering my question. That cleared it up perfectly and has been what I've been doing with EMDR therapy. Perfect. And is that the eye movement therapy? And you can tell us a little more. Destiny says, OMG, you're in EMDR. I'm going to ask you about that later. So cool. And what is EMDR? It is I am not the expert on that. I just thought it had something to do with eye movement and breathing, but I am not certain. So maybe Destiny or Kimberly, you can answer that for us. Luminous Orchards. I was recently listening to a talk about the meaning of one snake versus two related to science and health. Why don't you share that with us, Luminous? You could put that in the chat here, or you can put it in the stream underneath the video in the comments later for us all, and I'll share that with everybody. Amanda J says 46. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so you're heading into that. You've moved into that transition point to your north node, and you are, depending on your human design, you might be coming into that transition time to, if you have a sixth line profile where you're coming down off the roof, emerging into the world, and, or you are also closing in on Chiron return much later. Probably not another 5 or 6 years for you, but still thinking about how it is that you need to be healing. What are the wounds that are still left unhealed? And on to Marcella. Good morning. Eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. Wow, wow, wow. That is a mouthful. I would love to find out more about that. Hi, Marcella. Destiny says, Luminous, I don't remember where exactly now. I will have to think of it. If you find it, please feel free to share that with all of us. Whew. Okay, so we have a lot of great conversation going on today. Let's transition now back to our conversation of the day. I just want to do a really quick talk about the moon today. She's in Scorpio again. Remember the 1 minute void, of course, that won't happen until later on in the day. 6:21 p.m. my time, so 9:21 for those of you on the East Coast. Till 22 minutes after the hour, so literally just the 1 minute. After that, the moon will have moved into Sagittarius, and tomorrow we will talk about what it is like when the moon is in Sagittarius. What do we want to have our focus on? But today, the moon before she moves out of the sign of Scorpio is going to be in a trine to Neptune. We have a very easy way to tap into our inner consciousness, our inner voice, in maybe profound, intuitive, and prophetic ways today. Then she is also in a sextile to Jupiter and Pluto. There's a smooth move of energy between Scorpios wanting to regenerate and those planets, Jupiter and Pluto in Capricorn, that have been also in destruction in order to regenerate, to rebuild, so that we have some really good things here. You might come up against today some things within you that you want to change, right, that are no longer you. This would be a great day to work with those. Then as the moon moves into Sagittarius, it will come into a trine with the planet Mars. And that is because Mars newly early degrees of Aries, and Aries being a fire sign, Sagittarius also fire. So we have some exchange with ideas and passion and, you know, maybe some really good energy for getting things done, but that happens very late. So it might play out in your dreams tonight, maybe restless sleep. We might have to, you know, maybe take a walk before bed this evening just to dispel some energy. And other than that, that should be a pretty good connection that the moon is making. Now, today we also move into a new week with the Human Design Gate. So now I want to share the Human Design Chart. I do believe I opened that up. Did I? I started to, and then the program started. So let's go to downloads. There we go. Let me open that up. And now I will share my screen with you for this conversation. As we look at the day chart, we see it doesn't look much different from yesterday, does it? And that's because we looked at it yesterday just so we could see, okay, this is what things are looking like right now, because we were having a discussion yesterday about the head center. Remember the head center, and we talked about people saying that we wanted to figure things out. And the reason why that is because right now we're all experiencing this defined head and defined ajna because of Jupiter and Pluto sitting at gate 61 and Uranus sitting at gate 24. So for a long period of time, we are uncharacteristically, if you have an open head and ajna in your birth chart, given to thinking and trying to figure things out. And we talked about how that is not the case, right? No one here has power or authority. No one here on the planet has power or authority in their mind, that all of that is below the throat down here in the body. The body holds the wisdom. The mind holds the ability to compare and contrast and recall data and be inspired and that type of energy, but it has no real action. It's not a motor, has no energy to do anything. It only has awareness there. Now, when we look down here, we don't see any other centers being defined in the general chart, but in your own chart, you've got to take a look now at where the sun and the earth are playing. They are sitting on a root center right now. This is the root center. About 40% of the population has this center open by birth, and the other 60% have this defined. So a good percentage of the population is structured in a way to be able to monitor and manage stress in their lives, where 40% of you are taking in the stress energy generated by the other 60%, and you're amplifying that and burning yourself out trying to manage your stress, right? You are in this possibility of burning out. Now we have these two gates on the root center. This is a pressure center, by the way. And the pressure in the center is about doing, right? The pressure to do. And this pulls us often out of this idea of being, and causes us to become more like human doings. So here we have to really look at what are we spending our time doing. Now the gate 39 sitting here is called the gate of provocation. Some of you may have it connected to a hanging gate 55. Some of you may have this whole channel already defined, so this isn't anything particularly new for you. But the gate 39, for those of you who haven't had it, is the pressure to find your passion in life, to find what your life purpose is. So if you are new to human design and you don't understand exactly what I mean, you don't have your own chart, you may want to go to my website at living-astrology.com, get your own chart so you can see that. And I apologize to, I think it was Kimberly and Destiny, you got your charts a bit late because I've been so busy. I was never able until yesterday to get to the charts that had been requested over the previous 5 days. So you have them now. So you know what you look like in terms of your energy. And take a look down here at this pressure center. Note whether it is colored in brown, which means that you do already manage stress pretty well. If it's white, like it is here, it means that you're taking in stress from around you, amplifying it, and rebroadcasting it. And you become more pressured than anyone else to find your life purpose. And this is also the pressure to emotionally connect, because this is a channel that connects, or this is a gate that has its end point over here in the emotional solar plexus. So the sun here at the gate of provocation will really highlight that for us in our life, trying to the gift, if we look at this through the gene keys, the shadow energy is provocation, but the gift energy, dynamism, leads us to liberation in the highest expression or the city, which is what this is all about, right? Finding your passion, whatever it is in the moment, liberates you then to express that passion and not keep on the search for it. I can't tell you how many times I've done repeat readings for people who are consistently in this funk of trying to find their passion or find their life purpose. And as many times as I can tell them, you're living your life purpose, right? Your life purpose is this in this moment. They still feel pressured to keep going out in the world and finding that. Now the earth is at gate 38. This is this one over here. This is also the root center, but it is leading up to the spleen center. Here we have the pressure to find your purpose in life, but you're struggling to find it. And often it gets sidelined by fear or some kind of survival energy that pops up rather than being able to thrive. You are struggling in some ways to differentiate who you are versus who everyone else is. And so we may also feel that right now in ourselves as we're struggling to find who we are and what the appropriate expression of our life purpose is. And also the gift in this one is perseverance. The highest expression is honor. So stay the course, right? Keep doing what you're doing. You will, following your type and your strategy. Again, gosh, type, strategy, and authority. Those are the three big keys that are going to get you to where it is that you need to be. They are going to be the things that help you find and live your passion, and they are going to be the things that help you find and live your purpose. So that is the energy of the week that we're in starting today. And let's see here. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Let's look at the Pleiadian energy very quickly. Today we are at 10 feeling. Isn't it amazing how the Pleiadian system and human design and our moon often bring us into this wonderful coherence, right? The moon in Scorpio, emotions, right? The Pleiadian earth energy in the earth day sign of feeling, and the sun at gate 39 leading us to being able to emote and contend with our emotions. In the Mayan calendar today, feeling in the Pleiadian was Muluk. Muluk was also about water and how water flowed, and that water was really the idea of feelings and emotions. And the 10 energy of the day is manifesting energy. And here is where we are building on what we have learned through this 10 day, the 10 days into this spiral of consciousness in this week. Here we begin to reap what we've sown. So if you don't like what's showing up, then likely there's something that happened that changed your original intention, and or you weren't living up to that intention. And now you have this opportunity at the 10 to course correct. Again, we have these built-in course correction points. Today would be that day. So feeling energy is also a part of that learning process of learning to be in response to what shows up in our world, in our outer world, in our inner world, versus reaction, right? Reaction, where we act first, think later. And by the way, shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have thrown that away, shouldn't have broken that kind of thing, versus response, which gives us that moment. Breathe, then choose how you're going to respond. How are you going to let emotions run away with you? Or are you going to be responsive with your emotional energy? It's all about creating more and more emotional intelligence here on Earth. And it is part of a longer course of evolution that is happening on the planet. We're scheduled for an evolutionary leap to more emotional intelligence as we move toward 2027. In fact, later this month, I will be appearing with Anaya Holili on Angel Heart Radio. She's the creator of Angel Heart Radio. And we're going to talk about that exact thing, the journey to that evolutionary leap that we're scheduled to have in 2027. I think that is it for me today. I'm going to take one last look back here at YouTube for questions or comments. Ellie says, one of the few filled channels, both red and black, 39 to 55. It makes sense to her. That is called, when it's all filled in like that, the channel of emoting. And it is a channel where your life is defined by highs and lows, and with starts and stops, and with going into the deep and being more melancholic and in the creative space, and then the upper end of that being more expressive and being more outer expressed energy. So in with people that have that completed channel, we're always dealing with that high and that low, and feeling like sometimes it's all going good, only to be followed by, oh my gosh, everything's crashing and burning. Now I have that channel. That channel is often one that can create anxiety, where we, you know, do things that help soothe our anxious feelings. So that's not going to be much different for you, but gives you maybe an idea of what it is that you're learning about. And Amy, in your case, where you have the 55, then the 39 will now complete to the 55. And you may also find yourself now dealing with the shadow of what happens in the low wave, the low part of the wave. Maybe what is going on with you emotionally, maybe, you know, experiencing more emotional things that happen in your life or interactions with other people, things like that. Yes, you're most welcome. Okay, so J-Lo, best advice to use the gate 10 as it may is in my design, and the south node is there if I'm reading it correctly. You are reading it correctly, J-Lo, and the gate 10 is, let's go back really quickly so everybody can see where that is. My brain went dead for a second. There we go. So here's where the gate 10 is sitting, right here on the identity center. It is your core, right? The core, your compass, your guidance system, if you will. And your guidance system has a magnet in it. And the magnet is only one way. It can only attract. It is an attractive force. So if you can imagine yourself moving through your life and this magnet is attracting to you the people, the opportunities, the experiences that are there for your soul's evolution. Now, all of us collectively right now have the south node sitting at gate 10 and the north node sitting at gate 15. Now, the south node is all about the lessons, right, that we're learning and what we're carrying with us that needs to be moved more toward the north node. Well, the north node is the love of humanity. The south node is here at the gate of the love of self. So here we're having to learn to be a more inclusive, more loving and giving to our fellow humans, more compassionate and kind and generous and inclusive and healing and forgiving and letting go of all of these, you know, old tensions that have been between us. And the gate 10 can sometimes see us lashing out with our words, right? As we defend ourselves or we in some way, you know, strike out at a vulnerable point in someone else. But it can also be where you receive that criticism or that verbal dialogue from someone that is painful or wounding to you. So we have to be very aware of that going on right now. And as Mercury is retrograde, people are, you know, inclined at times to say things they don't mean based on a consciousness or a subconscious thing that they are also grappling with themselves. So there's a lot of lessons for us to learn right now with the North Node and the South Node. At those two gates of love, right? These are attracting to you the people that may make you feel more vulnerable. It may be attracting to you situations where you have to really rise to the level of inclusivity. Look at the world, right? Look at the things we're grappling with. And you can see the force of these two energies in play in the consciousness of everyone on the planet. So it's really interesting to watch that. Oh, great question, J-Lo. Great questions, all of you that have asked questions today. I love that. All right, guys. Well, that is it for me this morning. I hope you all have a wonderful day. I'll be with you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. right here, Living Astrology on YouTube. Take care, everybody.